Many of us are familiar with the Old Testament account of the provision of manna, a supernatural provision supplied every morning for the children of Israel after their escape from bondage in Egypt. We read from the story in Exodus 16 earlier in today's service. God faithfully provided this heavenly food for 40 years, and yet many of its recipients grumbled and complained about it. Imagine just for a moment if, on hearing their complaints, for God's ears picks up everything, God had responded with the words, "From now on, I don't do mornings." Recently, someone asked me about my habit of waking early each morning and about the health benefits of rising early, which I thought was an excellent question. Unfortunately, there are none that I can boast of, but however, there are many other great benefits. Now let me first say that if you're a night owl and that works for you, I think that's great. There is no reason to change, especially if you're happy with it. But for me, I'm a morning person. In other words, I'm at my best in the morning. Don't expect me to be bright and breezy at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the evening. It's well past my bedtime. For years now, in fact for all of my adult life, when it's possible, I have followed the wise advice of my grandmother, early to bed and early to rise. Benjamin Franklin was famous for the notion that it makes a man healthy and wealthy and wise, but I'm not convinced. Nevertheless, my sermon today, entitled "I Don't Do Mornings," is intended to be a challenge to those of you who may miss what I believe to be the very best part of every day. Let us consider today, then, some of the things that the Bible tells us about the morning. Returning to the manna in the wilderness story, here we see a classic example of what the psalmist calls the loving kindness of God, Psalm 92:2. In spite of their waywardness, in spite of their grumbling and complaining, with the dawn of each new day, the provision of each new supply of manna came. Remember, they were told not to try to keep or preserve one day's supply until the next, for it would rot. Only for the Sabbath would God give 2 days' supply in one. How rightly the psalmist discovered that God's love and kindness was new every morning. It is for you too. Every day, whether or not you notice it or acknowledge it or thank Him for it, every day God's mercies toward you are new every morning. Moses, when he blessed the tribes of Israel just before his death, promised them that "as your days, so shall your strength be," Deuteronomy 33:25. This does not mean days according to longevity, as many suppose. Rather, the word "days" here refers to kind and not length. Whatever kind of day today will be, God will give you strength for it. And if you seek Him early, you can tap into that source of strength right away. Moreover, the psalmist declares, "Evening, morning, and at noon, He will hear my voice," Psalm 55:17. And we used to sing in Sunday school, "Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening, to keep your heart in tune." If you fail to seek God in the morning, you may fail to survive life in the day. If you fail to get up, dress up, and stand up in the whole armor of God, then you'll experience defeat in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I know from bitter experience that no matter how early I get up, the devil gets up long before me. He has traps and snares and troubles all planned out for me long before I set one foot on the floor. Remember that one of his names is Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14:12. So as much as possible, I rarely move from my bedroom until I have first spoken with my Father in heaven, and early in the morning ask for his help, provision, and protection for the rest of the day. The Bible is simply full of examples of those who rose early in the morning to be with God. Abram got up early in the morning, as did Jacob, Laban, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, and Job, and others who had discovered the benefits of greeting the dawn and meeting the day with God. The Bible speaks of the morning light, the morning star, the morning watch, all with reference to waiting on God for leadership and light on the path of day. So then, how important it is for us also to begin our day with God. Let me share with you today the practical things you'll miss if you don't do mornings with God. Someone has said there ought to be a better way of starting the day than having to get up. And my answer is, yes, there is. First, greet the day. I love to be able to get up and greet a wonderful new day. I say wonderful because I expect that if I have begun the day properly with God, then it will be wonderful. This does not mean that it may not be eventful, nor do I suggest that there may be no problems to encounter. But having greeted the day with God and asked for his help, I know that he will be ahead of me in every eventuality. I suggest creating a morning ritual that includes saying thanks for your blessings. The hymn writer could say, count your blessings one by one, and you'll be surprised what God has done. And that's true. I read recently something that the Dalai Lama said, and I quote, every day think as you wake up. Today I am fortunate to have woken up. I am alive. I have a precious human life. I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I am going to have kind thoughts towards others. I'm not going to get angry or think badly about others. I'm going to benefit others as much as I can. That's how God wants us to start too, to start positively and not negatively. Many begin their day with a negative outlook. They don't expect that things will be any better. They don't hope for change. They don't dream. And usually they get exactly what they expect. Then, make an amazing start. As a younger man, before I entered the ministry of the church, I used to start my day by jumping out of bed, late as usual, and rushing to get myself fed and watered, washed and dressed and ready, but then into work late. I had to run for the bus, sometimes missed it, and would walk into work looking exhausted, barely awake, grumpy, and behind everyone else. Not a great start to any day. Now, I have a renewing and refreshing morning ritual. I've gotten so much done before 8 a.m. that I've already made a head start on my day. There's no better way than to start off your day and wake early, in my experience. Another blessing of the early morning is quietness. No neighbors yelling, no babies crying, no soccer balls, no cars or traffic on the roads, no television noise and no phone calls. The early morning hours are so peaceful, so quiet. It's my favorite time of the day. I truly enjoy that time of peace, that time to myself, when I can think, when I can read my Bible, hear from God and talk with God. And when I can breathe in fresh air without all the pollutants of the morning rush hour. It's truly a quiet time. Sunrise is something else many miss. People who wake late miss one of the greatest glories of nature, repeated in full stereo vision each and every day, the rise of the sun. I love how the day slowly gets brighter, when the midnight blue turns to lighter blue, when the brilliant colors start to creep into the sky, when nature is painted in incredible hues. I like having an early morning walk during this time and glancing around at nature, the trees of the field, the birds of the air, admiring all of the creative handiwork of God. I can then look up at the sky in all its glory, for the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19, verse 1. And I can say to my Savior, thank you for this another glorious day. Then there is breakfast. Rise early and you actually have time for breakfast. We are told it's one of the most important meals of the day. Without breakfast, your body is running on fumes until you're so hungry by lunchtime that you eat whatever unhealthy thing you can find. The fattier and sweeter, the better. but eat breakfast and you are satisfied until later. Plus, eating breakfast while reading my book and drinking my coffee in the quiet of the morning is extremely more enjoyable than scoffing something down on my way to work or at your desk. And don't forget at meal times to thank God. He does give us each day our daily bread, whether we're thankful or not. I should also mention exercise at this point. There are other times to exercise beside the early morning, of course, but I've found that while exercising right after work is also very enjoyable, it's often liable to be cancelled because of other things that come up. Morning exercise is virtually never cancelled. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and as Christians we should always be serious about diet and exercise. God wants us well. He wants us in tip-top condition. Overeating and gluttony is sin, and a sin that few take as seriously as God does. If we have bread enough and to spare, which many of us do, it does not mean that we should always clear the table of every morsel. Purely from our health perspective, we should always rise from the table, being able to eat more. Then, what about our productivity? Mornings, for me at least, are the most productive time of the day. I like to do some sermon or letter writing in the morning, when there are no distractions, before I check my emails or post. I get so much more done by starting on my work in the morning. Then, when the evening rolls around, I have no work that I need to do, and I can spend time relaxing with my family or friends. If you've got goals and ambitions, and you should, then there's no better time to review them and plan for them and do your goal tasks first thing. You should have one aim or goal that you want to accomplish every day, and every morning you should decide what that one thing you can do today should be, and move yourself forward toward that goal. And then, if possible, do that first thing in the morning. Now let us consider your appointments. Let us talk about timekeeping in general. It's much easier to make those appointments on time if you get up early. Showing up late for those appointments is a bad signal to the person you're meeting. Showing up early will impress them. Plus, you get time to prepare. Christians ought to be men and women of their word. The Bible says that what we do, we should be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. God is not honored by a slapdash way of living or haphazard timekeeping. God showed me many years ago that by arriving for work late and still collecting my wages, I was robbing my employer of his time. You may not and should not have your hand in the till, but many Christians are stealing time, both by being late and by being dishonest in timekeeping records. Punctuality is the mark of a well-disciplined character. Punctuality for the house of God and for your church is also very important. Those who come in late show little regard for the house of God or for the importance of worship. These are practical matters, and we must not forget that God is concerned about every little aspect of our lives. He has saved the whole person, not just the soul. There are some who think that these things should not be mentioned in a sermon, but God is a practical God and has laid down rules and regulations for our health, safety, and well-being, and if we neglect or ignore them, then we fail Him. And we may fail others also. For that reason, I wish to say a few words about personal appearance and dress. Sometimes the preacher must take the bull by the horn, so here goes. As I hinted a while ago, getting up late, rushing out for work or for church, gives us little or no time to properly prepare ourselves. Some say that cleanliness is next to godliness. And while it is not a biblical truth, there is nevertheless truth in it. Soap is cheap and water is free, at any rate it is now. And thus we were without excuse. Many Christians focus on a clean heart, but forget that they should also have a clean body, at least if they sit beside me in the church. Then what about your dress sense or your general appearance? God forbid that we should come to church as movie stars draped in diamonds and furs. But many of you come to church as if God your father was broke. Old jeans, old shoes, old shirts. Same as you were for the football. Tidy yourselves up. Tuck in your shirt. You're having an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How dare you treat God as you might treat an umpire or a referee? If some of you were going to a wedding, you'd spare no expense on new clothes, shoes, hats and the like. God wants his children to look and act like princes, not like beggars. And while it is true that God looks on the heart, it is not true that he's blind to the rest. God sees all of you and all about you. You're supposed to be an ambassador for heaven. But when are you going to start acting like one? Returning to the scriptures and thinking of the morning, I am reminded of something that Paul the Apostle said. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Those who are half-hearted about their day will have difficulty getting out of bed. Those who are excited about life will rise early and get to it. If you don't do mornings, then you are surely losing out on life. The most important part of the day for the Christian ought to be that morning watch, that daily devotional quiet time with God. Who knows just whose lives you might affect by a simple prayer for them every morning. Many a marriage has been saved by the prayers of a neighbor. Many a factory has been spared ruin by the prayers of the watchman or janitor. Many a school has produced a president or a prime minister by the prayers and influence of a teacher. And many a wayward son has been spared hell because a mother or father knelt every morning to include their name in a prayer to God. How do you begin your day? Now this final word. The story is told of two men that lived in a simple country home in their boyhood, and they later became rich men when they went away from home. They went occasionally to visit the father and mother living in the old homestead, and finally their father and mother, good Christian parents, went to their reward in glory. The sons did not know what to do with the old home. One of them said to the other, "If you'll sell out your interest in it to me, I'll tear down the house and build a summer house, and you can come out to it whenever you want to." Accordingly, they took a trip out to the old homestead to tear it down. Around that spot, there swept many sacred memories. Then these two brothers, past middle life and rich, went into the house and looked around through it. One walked up and down in front of the old fireplace, and the other sat down. Finally, one said to the other, "You know, Bob, what I'm thinking about, I've changed my mind. Since I've been here, I'm not going to tear down this old house. This house is going to stand here. It's not going to be torn down." "That's a strange thing," the other brother said, "because when I was walking up and down in front of the fireplace, that's the same thing I was thinking about." He looked at the chair in which his father used to sit. "Here is the old chair that father sat in when he read the Bible, when we had family worship, the chair around which we all knelt as father lifted our hearts to God." The boys stayed there for 2 hours to talk things over. Then they both got down on their knees at that old chair, repented, and wept their hearts out before God. They went back home, saved men, and gave their wealth to God and began to live for heaven. Today that old house still stands. Not a single thing was moved out. It was too sacred to touch because of a father's prayers that had been prayed there every morning and every night. May God enable us all to whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening, and so keep our hearts in tune. Amen.